What's good? I'm Gary Ivory, and welcome to another episode of Inside the Beat, where we meet and greet new artists from in and around the New England area. My guest today is Tyler Lebs. Tyler comes to us from Nashua, New Hampshire. He is a singer, songwriter, and his general focus is anything directly related to music. I guess he's got some pretty intense goals, making a living, making music for the rest of his life, and connecting with everyone. How are you doing there, Tyler?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you.
Good deal. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yep, no problem. So originally, I'm from Maine. I moved to New Hampshire about 2.5 years ago, and music has always just been a part of my life in the sense of, obviously everybody listens to music growing up, and I just really got focused on music from a younger age. I actually played trumpet for a few years back in the day, from about fourth grade to seventh grade. Learned a little bit about reading music, and from that point, I decided to stop because, you know, trumpet wasn't cool back then, and I ended up picking up guitar for a little bit.
Who told you trumpet wasn't cool? What's that all?
It was a really weird thing. I don't know. I just got really self-conscious about it. I started, you know, going to band and stuff, and it was a big band in my seventh grade, and it was a lot of fun at the time, but for some reason, I couldn't do that at the same time while I tried to play guitar. Mainly, I played a lot of sports. I played soccer, played ice hockey. I played a bit of lacrosse as well, so it was just like a time management thing that I really didn't feel like I had.
So can you say that you've been interested in music since junior high school, middle school days?
Oh, even middle school. I still remember the first time I ever picked up an album was John Mayer's Room for Squares, and it was interesting to me because, you know, my dad grew up listening, well, when I grew up, listening to classic rock with my dad, a lot of AC/DC, Pink Floyd, Led Zeppelin, all that. My mom had John Mayer's Room for Squares, the actual album, in like 2001, 2002. So I remember having that album for the first time, hearing it, you know, just as my mom listened to it, but then actually taking it and listening to it myself and just trying to get this understanding of, you know, I always listen to these crazy fast guitars and, you know, all of these amazing licks and these loud, powerful vocals. How is this guy different? You know, what is he doing that I really enjoy? So from listening to his take on music and some very intricate pieces just on an acoustic guitar instead of electric really kind of drew me in. So I listened to that whole album front to back. And it's still one of my favorite albums today. So from that point forward, it was just this understanding of, yes, I like rock and I like metal and I like this genre, but everything has something worth, you know, worthwhile, has some quality that's worth listening to. So it kind of developed from that point. So it wanted me it got me into learning acoustic guitar. I was really into it, but I didn't really have a lot of time to dedicate to it. So I took a class through my school for a little bit and then got bored and decided I wanted to just do my own music. I wanted to learn the stuff I wanted to learn. I wanted to learn songs that I enjoyed, and I didn't want to just play, you know, some chord progression and some just silly like nursery rhyme song anymore. So
you had music in your heart.
Yeah.
And it just needed to come out.
I think so. I think that's what it was. And
that's pretty exciting.
It was a fun time and an interesting time growing up when it did, because, you know, YouTube was starting to become a really popular thing, and I remember going on YouTube and trying to find videos to learn my favorite songs, and then I'd get lost down the rabbit hole and I'd find this guy who can, you know, play some amazing piece, and I'd get discouraged and say, I'm never going to play that good, so what's the point? And then I'd stop for a bit, and, you know, I slowly realized I'm not doing it because of them. I'm not doing it so I can be the best. I'm doing it because I enjoy it. So then I'd jump back on the wagon a little bit, play a little longer, and then, you know, get distracted again, and it would just happen in a vicious cycle. So.
Well, I can honestly say I'm glad you continued with it, you know.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about your focus on music, okay, what it is that you like, what some of your influences are?
Yeah, definitely. I would say my purpose with music is really, at this point, is to connect with people and to just kind of experience the emotion myself as well. I always kind of struggled through my younger years to, you know, I guess express myself in a positive way. So by doing music, by listening to my favorite songs, I really found something in myself. And then I started to realize that, hey, maybe I should try and write my own music, because then I can connect with people on that same level and maybe make people feel either just like a little bit less alone, or just knowing I have that impact to make somebody, you know, have a good time and have fun and enjoy themselves and just forget about, you know, everything for a little bit. Was interesting to me. So it really started as a personal thing to just, you know, express myself, and became this thing that I realized that maybe I can reach out to more people and I can impact more people than I ever really realized. So music kind of started to go in that direction. I always just played in my room by myself. I remember my mom telling me every once in a while, "Oh, you sound good. Like, you're getting better. Good job." And that was the one person who knew I played music for a bit.
Yeah.
Other than a couple friends in high school started to hear that I played a little, and it just kind of grew from there. So I got this understanding of why I was doing music before I was actually doing it. So
that's great. Yeah, I'm pretty intrigued by your social media presence and your streams. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about all that. I mean, The whole story.
Okay. So it was, realistically, I found out about Twitch, which is the streaming site that I use. And actually Twitch is now owned by Amazon. So I fired up my first stream in December of 2016. And, you know, I still remember getting my guitar out and feeling extremely, extremely nervous, because this is a person who never really played in front of people. I tried to do some things here and there, but every time I performed in front of people, I got extremely nervous, and it was very, very, you know, it's like a stage fright, very performance anxiety driven.
Right.
I guess a foreign thing to me, trying to get up in front of that many people. So back in, you know, December 2016, back to the story here, I fired up my first stream. I had a lot of fun. I played for about 2 hours, and a couple of people filtered through and said, "Hey, you know what? You sound pretty good. Like, good job. I'm glad you're doing this." And numbers slowly started to grow, and you know, I always had a great time. And rather than seeing people as viewers, it was more of like meeting new people and making friends, because I was meeting people from, you know, not even necessarily my state.
Yeah.
Like, there was people from all across the U.S. I was meeting people from, you know, Europe, Germany, the Netherlands. I was meeting people from all around the world, and these people I never would have connected with without Twitch. And there's a kind of an audience growing around my channel now with my original music, with all the covers that I do. I use, obviously, my guitar, but I have a loop station, all the singing. I recently tried to pick up piano, so I'm slowly getting into that. So that still continues today. I still stream, you know, fairly frequently. I would say almost every other day.
So then let me ask you real quick.
Yeah.
When you're streaming, mm-hmm. how does that work? You just set up your guitar and just play whatever you feel to your audience? Do you take requests or anything like that?
Yeah. So if I were to sit down right now on my stream, I have a couple of things that I need to open. I open a chat window that people can talk into. I open my program that allows me to stream. I have a webcam set up. Actually, for what I call loop station days, I have two webcams. I have one that's on me so they can see me playing the guitar, and then I have one that's on my foot cam. So it's just my loop station, so you could see the stuff I press while I play. And so setting that up is very quick. And once I get rolling, most days I do take requests. I have a song list of about 400 something songs, some original. You know, the 380 are all covers, songs that they can request from. Or I have the option, if it's a song that may not be on the list but I've heard before, I'll definitely do. If it's a song that I've never heard before and I have no clue how it goes, I'll try and listen to it and live learn it and play something at least close to it and then say, okay, you know, that was my shot, but I'll save this song and listen to it later, see if I can get a better understanding or a better vibe for the song. And if I really like the song, I'll learn it fairly quickly. If I don't, it'll take more time. But it's all cover based, and the viewers can come through at any time and request one song at a time. So for example, one person requests their song. Once I play their song, I remove it from the list. They can then request another one. So, but it's a fairly easy setup and not too much to it on my end anymore. So
how exciting is it?
Is streaming or music?
Yeah, how exciting is it for you to be able to entertain an audience from the privacy of your bedroom?
It kind of blows my mind every single time I sit down, because when I first started, like I had said, it was actually a funny story. My very first stream ever, I think I had a total of 3 people.
Yeah.
And one of them was my girlfriend sitting on the couch on her computer. So I really only had 2 people. So every time I just look at it right before I start, it just kind of humbles me to realize that in my mind, I've already made it, because I'm so much farther than when I started.
That's great, man. That's what it's all about right there.
Yeah.
Seriously. And can you say that your fans helped you to get to that feeling, or is it something that you did on your own?
Oh, no, it's 110% the validation of the people who come through. Their validation, and they're saying, you know, they're coming through and saying, "Hey, you're doing a great job. Keep doing this. Like, keep working on this. I really love your original music." Like, all these people have slowly made me realize, yeah, maybe I'm not the best at what I do, but I'm at least doing something, and it's making an impact.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to set some webcams up in the vocal booth.
Yeah.
And have you Twitch live.
Totally could.
That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned that you had gone from heavy metal to
yep.
rap.
My dad always listened to Led Zeppelin, you know, Pink Floyd, AC/DC, a lot of like the more what we consider classic rock. And then even some of the newer stuff, Metallica would come out with new stuff here and there. He really listened to just anything that was heavy, essentially. So I started listening to bands such as All That Remains, As They Lay Dying, just kind of everything and anything. And I was just always like, nope, unless it's rock, if I don't hear a guitar in the first 10 seconds, then I'm not listening to it. And I stuck to that until I got into my senior year of high school and then started to move into college, where all of a sudden music just expanded for me into this huge thing, because I started to realize there's rap music that I do enjoy, there's pop music I do enjoy, there's acoustic sets, there's classical music, there's just all this stuff that I you know, felt like I was missing out on. So I went to college, I started working with FL Studio a little bit, doing some more rap stuff. I put down the guitar for a good period of time. So I always joke with my stream, I say, you know, I was probably better, more technically advanced in my high school years than I am now, because I used to play a lot of metal. I used to try and practice scales. I used to play along with all of this ridiculously fast stuff. And now it's a little bit less intricate than it used to be. But I wrote, I don't know, 10, 15, 20 rap songs from the time I was, you know, my freshman year of college to my senior year of college, and just kind of experienced it, play around with it a little bit. So that naturally brought me from rap into electronic. So I listened to a bit of Deadmau5, who's the first one to come to the top of my head, Wolfgang Gartner, who was, you know, kind of associated with Deadmau5 as well. It was a new appreciation. And I would say these years through college, these 4 years, were probably the biggest impact of my music. It was a realization that genre was just a label that I was assigning to all these things, instead of truly giving every song its, you know, its first shot out of the gate to at least, you know, try and develop some type of perspective for myself, instead of just, you know, saying, no, I don't like it because of this.
Yeah. My big question for you, where would you want to be a year from now?
That's a tricky question, because the possibilities, I mean, there's a lot of things that can make me happy. The simple answer is to say, doing something more with music than I am right now, whether that means my streams are bigger, or, you know, performing live in front of people is a bigger deal, or getting some album out there that people really enjoy, just something better in terms of like my musical career, in terms of just progression, just some type of progression. Even if it's as simple as me becoming a better guitarist and knowing that, you know, I can now play better parts, I can cover songs into a better ability, or I can write better songs, or, you know, even becoming a slightly better vocalist, any of those things, just some type of progression in my music. And whether that means, you know, yeah, I got better at music, but I have to, you know, bury a dream of doing it full time and start another day job, like, that's completely fine. That doesn't matter. As long as the music is getting better in some sense, that's kind of my dream, I'd say. My 1 year from now is definitely just to improve in some scope of my music.
Tell me about your personal life.
So my personal life, like I said, I played a lot of ice hockey. I played a lot of sports growing up. On my mom's side of the family, mental illness has kind of been a thing for, I mean, my whole life. So I've been around it. Obviously, I've struggled a bit through my high school career into college and working through stuff. But I feel now that, you know, I'm an adult, I, you know, have gone through, I feel like, a fair amount of stuff through, and my parents' divorce, and a couple of just, you know, regular life things. Life does continue.
I can appreciate
just,
that.
And just realizing that no matter what life throws at you, as long as you're still willing to find something to, you know, I guess give you focus and something to motivate you to continue through your day, like, that's all that matters. So my girlfriend is a very good supporter of that, and I have a good family life, so I really do appreciate them and all that they do for me. Whether or not they know how much they do for me is a different story, but it definitely keeps me going through the day. So in terms of sports, it really kind of died off after college. I think, honestly, music is just kind of my life. I'm always thinking, you know, what my next song could be, what I could write about next, whether or not I, you know, am searching for this type of sound, if I like this chord progression, and it's just constant music. Whether or not I'm actually writing anything's a different story, but, you know, sometimes I go a couple of weeks without writing music, and then all of a sudden in one day I've got three new ideas and they all become three songs. So
that's great.
It's all over the place, but it's all music.
You're becoming a machine.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to be able to work with you, Tyler, and I'm looking forward to a hit record with you.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Because
that's
where I come from, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all about the hit record. Yeah. It's all about giving that mass audience out there something new. you know?
Yeah.
Because every single day they wake up, they're looking for something new. You know, everybody has a playlist.
It's true.
But at the same time, they're always looking for that next big thing.
Yeah.
And I pray to God that it's you.
Yeah, well, thank you.
All right, awesome. So we're going to get busy, and I'm going to play a little bit of what we did warming up in the studio today, if that's okay with you.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks, Gary.
All right, great. This is Gary Ivey for Inside the Beat. Check.
I hate the feeling. Think it's hard to explain. Like I'm drowning in a puddle. If I stood, I'd end the suffering like an island. I think I'm stranded on by myself, but it's a vacation resort, and I don't know how to ask for help. And even with all these people around me, sometimes I get lonely, sometimes I get down. Even New York City's sleeping and LA turns into a ghost town. Sometimes I get lonely, sometimes I hit the ground. And then I just keep going till I'm so deep I can't be found. Yeah, sometimes I get lonely and I do it to myself. Well, man, a parking lot surrounded by a sea of parking spaces, but the doors don't open for 3 more hours. It'll be filled with unfamiliar faces. Is anybody out there? Are you listening? Alone in my car, cause no one hears a thing. Sometimes I get lonely, sometimes I get down. Even New York City's sleeping and LA turns into a ghost town. Sometimes I get lonely, sometimes I hit the ground, and then I just keep going down so deep I